Hug Samayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Hag Purim Sameach, which means Happy Feast of Purim, because next Friday and Saturday is Purim, which we talked a lot about last week. So today we will do a quick overview and look at a few more typological pictures, as in the Antichrist, who was typified by the wicked Haman. Remember, Purim, meaning lots, or modern-day dice, is a holiday that commemorates, as written in the book of Esther, where God saves the Jewish people from annihilation through the faithfulness of the Hebrew Mordecai and his Jewish young cousin,
whom he raised after the death of her parents.
Yes. You know, we ask our listeners even more so this week to intercede with us for the salvation of as many as possible Jewish people, so to be spared from the soon coming judgment.
Well, you know, by the way, there really has been an increase over the last few years of Jews accepting Yeshua as their Savior.
Yeah, that's true. Amen about that. Also, at the same time, if you could be prayerful about the huge rise of anti-Semitism and as well anti-whitism that is also quickly seeping into the new woke culture. Tonight, we will pray the traditional three-part Jewish prayer as said during every Purim.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, Master of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us regarding the reading of the book of Esther, the Megillah. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, Master of the universe, who performed miracles for our fathers in those days and at this time. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, Master of the universe, who has kept your people alive and has sustained them and brought us all to this season. Amen.
And as Christians, we pray that in Yeshua's name, and may many more have eyes to see and run toward your light. Amen. Well, Purim in America should, I think, be the alternate time instead of Halloween for children to dress up and get candy. And they do that in Israel, you know, as Bible characters, of course, because little girls love to dress up as queens.
And boys love to dress up as kings.
So why not call your local church and encourage them to at least read from the book of Esther this week? Because it really was God's miracle, along with some amazing typologies of the end times, which we will continue to talk about tonight.
After some news?
Yeah, because there is a lot happening with the new residents and employees in the White House.
That's funny, you know, because President Biden is really the employee.
And it is becoming more evident every day. He is just a puppet.
Of the global elite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, most of you already know what horrific executive orders he has done by now. So instead of rehashing all that, let's bring to the forefront what is not being addressed on TV news, but it is being reported in some very reliable newspaper sources.
As in the Washington Free Beacon.
Mm-hmm, and Associated Press.
Yahoo News.
And Reuters.
Wall Street Journal.
And more so in the American Business.
Yeah, but not on TV.
Not that I'm aware of, but just like the mainstream media won't truly report on Governor Cuomo's atrocities in his nursing homes.
But you have some news most might not know.
Yes, and it fits in perfectly well with the Bible's definition of corruption, especially in the last days.
The rich men of the earth, Revelation 6.
And boy, are they corrupt. An oligarchy is now running America.
Maybe you could define oligarchy.
However you pronounce it.
Yeah.
It's a small group of people with immense wealth having control over a country or large institution.
As in Iran, Saudi Arabia, or Russia.
Yes, whereas China is a dictatorship. Anyhow, most people, unless you are very rich, have not heard of an investment firm called BlackRock.
Well, actually, it's the largest investment firm in the world.
Yes, about $8 trillion under its management of other people's money.
That's enormous.
You think?
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, many of the top executives at BlackRock are being appointed to VIP positions in the White House. Most don't even need approval by Congress. And even those who do, well, they'll just sail through due to their prestige.
And some were, you know, in the Obama administration as well.
Mm-hmm, yep. Larry Fink is the founding chairman and CEO of BlackRock and is also on the board of the World's Economic Forum, where Klaus Schwab is the founder, who I wrote about pretty extensively in our last newsletter.
Up on our website.
Yes, it is. And two men named Brian Deese and Michael Pyle from BlackRock are now the top economic advisors to Biden and Harris. And Wally Adenamo, I believe his name, was a senior advisor at BlackRock, but now he's our deputy treasury secretary.
Didn't even the Federal Reserve hire them?
Yeah, they did, for their expert advice on buying bonds and funds on their behalf. And BlackRock owns at least 5% of the shares of almost every company on the S&P 500. And have hired at least 85 officials from all over the world.
They play a big part in the New World Order.
No doubt. I can give you many more examples, but the bottom line, it will be BlackRock making major government decisions.
But you have more.
And this affects all of us. BlackRock just announced they will no longer invest with any company that gets 25% of its revenue from coal operations.
Which makes them sound very green.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. It's a kind of smokescreen because at the same time, BlackRock is the largest investor in foreign fossil fuels with over $19 billion, with a B, in Exxon stock alone, as well as large interests in Chevron, BP, and PetroChina. BlackRock is also currently in negotiations with Saudi Aramco discussing a $10 billion deal with their pipeline business and even opened an office in Saudi Arabia. Oh, and in 2019, bought a 40% stake in the oil pipelines of ADNOC.
Which is Abu Dhabi and the UAE.
Yes. So by now, you know where I'm going with this, and there is so much more about Biden's cabinet and advisors, all being referral friends, either coming from BlackRock or in some cases staying with BlackRock as board members, etc. So now you know the real reason why heartless Biden canceled the Keystone Pipeline.
And willing to sacrifice the livelihood of thousands of Americans.
That's right. Because they're all in his administration and want the United States to be dependent on foreign oil and not energy independent, as President Trump got us to.
Well, you know, gas prices are already increasing.
And will continue to.
And he blames his decision on the government, on the environment, I'm sorry.
Yes, he does. When everyone knows pipelines give off little, if any, emissions compared to trucks or railroads, which George Soros and Bill Gates own most of. And, of course, barges. Remember the oil spill we had years ago?
And Israel just experienced another one last week on its Mediterranean coast.
Yeah, what a mess they are trying to clean up on their beaches. And now, after what just happened in Texas, it is obvious we need, besides a well-maintained grid system, fossil fuels too. And by the time America's sheeple figures all that out, we will once again be slaves to foreign oil. And obviously, the demonic rich men of the earth know that extremely well.
Well, you know, the New World Order is all about globalism.
Which does mean the downfall of America's sovereignty and our nationalism, which is why Biden is letting in so many illegal aliens.
Well, you know, the Dems want their votes.
And to help kill American jobs. Mm-hmm. But what is even more disheartening is the child trafficking and the fentanyl that is made in China and brought into Mexico, where the cartels then smuggle into America, killing thousands. And it even affected one of our own family members who died of a fentanyl overdose, as it is often unknowingly laced into other drugs. Just here a little and there a little to bring down our population, and COVID-19 is the latest, and the vaccines will eventually show its true colors as well.
Well, you know, it might take 6 months to a year.
Right, and by then the disease will never be connected to the vaccines, and they will do everything they can to make us get them, and the boosters, of course. You will soon need a vaccine passport to go most places.
More info on this coming up in our February newsletters on shofarministries.net.
Actually, I already did that, and it's already up on the website.
Oh, okay.
This is February. I know, honey. Anyway, but it is a sure thing that President Biden is overturning everything he can that President Trump put into place.
Well, you know, as in rejoining the disastrous Paris Agreement.
Also, the Iran nuclear deal. And then there is Israel.
Well, you know, it took Biden a month to call Bibi.
Yes, and after talking with the Palestinians, who I just read yesterday, wrote a letter to Hadi Amir, who is our new State Department's Assistant Secretary, claiming that all factions, including the ruling group Hamas in the Gaza Strip, were all committed to establishing a Palestinian state based on the 1967 borders with, here it is, East Jerusalem as its capital.
Well, you knew that was coming.
Yes, because scripture tells us so. Mr. Amir is a practicing Muslim in charge of Israel and Palestinian affairs, just as he was during Obama's administration.
We welcome your end-time questions to Sheila at shofarministry.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate these last day's insights, please tuck in a love offering to help with our expenses, and God will bless you for it. As well, you'll receive our informative newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which contains a boatload of teachings with all the past radio and instructional newsletters archived for your added learning. Okay, last week we began the study in the book of Esther.
Yes, and we hope you were able to reread it over the last week. It's a very detailed account of yet another miracle of God and how he meticulously placed all the characters exactly how he wanted them to fulfill his will and to show the Jewish people how God is almighty and true to his promises that he made to Jacob, that his descendants would be as the sand of the sea.
Generation 32, I did it again, Genesis 32:12.
And no one, like Herod, Haman, Hitler, or anyone else, could ever annihilate his first chosen people.
And boy, the enemy has certainly tried.
Oh, many times, and still is. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:11 that the things of the Old Testament are given to us as examples to instruct us. Also in Romans 15:4, Paul says, the Old Testament writings are given to us for our learning and to give us hope. The Old Testament wasn't directly written to Christians because we were a mystery. So, how do we learn from it?
Well, mostly from pictures and types.
As Hosea tells us in chapter 12, verse 10. So, the Persian Empire of the 4th century B.C., extended over 127 lands, and all the Jews were its subjects. When King Ahasuerus had his wife, Queen Vashti, removed over his displeasure with her attitude for refusing to attend his feast, He orchestrated a beauty pageant to find a new queen,
Esther, who found great favor in his eyes.
However, she did not divulge her Jewish identity at that time. In chapter 2, we see the typological character, Haggai, who beautifully prepares Esther to meet the king, which typifies the Holy Spirit, who beautifies us through the word to meet our king.
Well, you know, that's a great picture.
Because it really is the word that makes us even more beautiful to God.
Yeah, we need to take hold of that gold nugget.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at more typology as in Queen Vashti.
There can be two schools of thought here.
Yes. The Jews say she represents the Israelites who began to worship other gods, thereby not showing up to partake in God's feast represented by the king.
Makes sense.
Now, still Christians see this as King Ahasuerus represents Jesus, who was rejected.
Therefore, he opened it up to all others.
And therefore, we are the bride of Christ, who do recognize his feast, especially his 7 appointments, 4 kept and 3 to go.
So, therefore, we are Christ's future queen in the millennial kingdom.
For sure. But either way works as it typifies both scenarios, especially when you understand the Trinity. So to me, Esther represents us, the bride and future queen, who really are secret Jews to the world because Jesus lives inside of us and we've been grafted into the roots, Romans 11.
Amen.
And then there's the very anti-Semitic Haman, who was appointed prime minister of that entire empire.
Who is a type of the future Antichrist.
Especially since he had 10 evil sons, a type of the 10 horns of the beast in Revelation 13. Haman has a plan now to annihilate the Jews, and so will the Antichrist. And like Haman, he'll be annihilated.
Revelation 19.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is an important tidbit. Haman inherited the bad seed from the Agagites, whose ancestor was Agag.
That's confirmed in Esther 3:1.
The Agagites were descendants of the giant Amalekites and the enemies of Israel's first king Saul.
And Saul was the ancestor of Mordecai.
Yeah. So, Saul's disobedience in eliminating all the Agagites brings huge consequences now to his later descendants.
Wow. Talk about the importance of genealogy.
Therefore, Haman and Mordecai are caught reenacting a scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier.
Another proof that history can repeat itself.
And that only God could coordinate it so meticulously.
For our learning.
Exactly. Okay, so Haman is second in command, and out of bitter jealousy, Haman succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king and proceeds to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and then to annihilate in a war all the Jews. Haman casts the Purim, or lots, which lands in the first month of the biblical calendar, Nisan 13, to decide when to hang Mordecai. Then he casts the lots again, which fell 11 months later on the 13th day of Adar, for the war to begin and to finish the annihilation of all Jews, both young and old. Mordecai beseeches Queen Esther to intercede with the king on behalf of her people. So she tells Mordecai to fast for the next 3 days, Nisan 13th, 14th, and 15th, at which time Esther requests admittance into the king's presence. Now, this was taking a big risk, for no one could enter the king's presence under penalty of death unless he first called them, even his wife, who he still did not know was Jewish. But out of his great love for her, the king agrees and promises her anything. Her request is for the king and Haman to come to a banquet that she will prepare for them the following day. Then again, the king asks her what she desires. This time, her request is for the king and Haman to come to another banquet yet again the next day. obviously Esther was stalling, perhaps for prayers to be heard, and perhaps for her real request to be asked on the 17th, which was the Feast of First Fruits. And although she was not yet aware, would later be the future resurrection of our Savior. Dates are very meaningful in Scripture. So now it's the 17th of Nisan, and Esther, during the course of this banquet, reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to kill all the Jews, along with the truth about her Jewish heritage. So the king immediately orders Haman to be hung on the very gallows Haman had made for Mordecai. The Jewish people were then trained and given arms and armor to win the already decreed war that the king could not overturn, dated months later for Adar 13, which they miraculously then won in about 2 days, and they celebrate it yearly. The king then also made another decree, encouraging the remaining Jews to go back to Jerusalem to finish building the city and the holy temple, as his previous ancestors had done. First by Cyrus after defeating the Babylonians, the second decree came from his son Darius, and now the third decree came from King Ahasuerus, also known as Artaxerxes, while married to Esther. And this was the most important decree, for it was this third decree in Nehemiah 2:1 that Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks begins. And we found that date to be March 14th, 445 BC. So with only 7 years left to Daniel's prophecy, the clock was put on hold at Christ's death so that the church age could be born. And as soon as we leave at the rapture / resurrection, which is, by the way, why we must leave, one of the reasons, the clock resumes its ticking for the last 7 years, called Jacob's trouble, a time of judgment on them and on the whole world. But you can escape if you so choose. Because we are nearing that final 7 years, the Antichrist is about to be revealed. And when reading Revelation 13, I pondered the scripture in verse 16 that says there will be an identifying mark that the people left behind must agree to take in their right hand or their forehead in order to buy or sell. Why the head, I wondered. Well, 35 years ago we thought it had to be because the person didn't have a hand, he'd have to have it in his head. Okay, but now we see that this mark could also be a technological AI placed in the frontal lobe of the brain that they will tell you will make you real smart, like a computer in your head, which it is. And they, especially Elon Musk, has already placed one in a pig at his Neuralink lab in California. And in the tribulation, the Antichrist and his minions will program it and change it accordingly. Anyhow, now Revelation 13 is making much more sense to me than even 10 years ago. And many of the foolish are already volunteering to have it. Well, we must go. But if Jesus isn't Lord over your life, you better get to it. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the president, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Next week we're going to go over the two calendars in Hebrew, and I think you'll enjoy that. And also, President Trump is going to speak at CPAC this Sunday. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.